إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as indeed He is deserving of all praise. And we pray that He sends His finest, most abundant, most continuous peace and blessings upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we testify that no one is worthy of worship but Allah, alone without any partners. The Mighty, the Supreme, the Beautiful, He whose power cannot be resisted, and He whose mercy cannot be surpassed, and He whose justice has no flaw. And we testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was His servant and His prophet and His messenger, and the best of His creation, and the seal of His revelation, and the most beloved of the slaves of Allah to Allah. As we testify, the most truthful of words, the book of Allah, Al-Qur'an Al-Azim, the great, noble, glorious Qur'an. And the best of guidance, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most dangerous of matters, the newly introduced matters, into this perfect, complete deen. For every newly introduced matter into this religion is a leading astray, off of the straight path, that only leads to the fire. It was reported that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say to advise himself and the people around him, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Judge yourselves before you're called to judgment. وَزِنُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And weigh your deeds for yourself before they're weighed against you. وَتَزَيَّنُوا لِيَوْمِ الْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ. And prepare yourselves to be presented on the great day of display. Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَ. On that day, you will be put on display and nothing will be hidden. So prepare yourself and look, check, judge, weigh what will be presented tomorrow. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he follows up on these words of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and his advices with his words, وَهَذَا فَرْضُ عَيْنٍ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. And this is an individual obligation on every Muslim to check before the day of judgment what have they sent forth for that day. And the proof is that Allah Azza wa Jal said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. O people of Iman, have the taqwa of Allah, and let each soul look at what it has prepared for tomorrow, for that great and last day. So what a great opportunity to review ourselves as the month of Ramadan is approaching. And without branching out too far, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So let's focus on that this evening. Where are we from the Quran? It was known that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was of the most beautiful reciters of the Qur'an. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomever would like to hear the Qur'an fresh and crisp as it was just revealed, meaning as if you're hearing it from the angel himself, فَلْيَسْمَعْهُ مِنْ إِبْنِ أُمِّ عَبْدٍ. Let him hear it from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This was another name of his, Ibn Ummi Abd. In Sahih al-Bukhari, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud himself, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded me, iqra, recite, فَقُلْتُ أَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَيْكَ أُنزِلْ I said, recite on you, and it came down on you. Meaning, why do you want to hear it from me? You heard it from Jibreel عليه السلام. قَالَ اقْرَأْ فَإِنِّي يُحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِي He told him, recite, for I love to hear it from others. So he was reciting in Surah An-Nisa. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, until I reached the verse wherein Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا How then would it be, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning on the Day of Judgment, when we bring from every nation a witness against them, and we bring you as a witness against your own people. He said, I recited this, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, حَسْبُكَ الْآنَ That is enough for now. فَالْتَفَتْتُ إِلَيْهِ I turned to him, فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَذْرِفَانَ To see his two eyes overflowing with tears, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We Muslims know and believe, factually so, and we take great pride that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our shafi' on the Day of Judgment. That Allah will grant him the station and the privilege of shafa'ah. Meaning he will intercede between certain people that are originally deserving of punishment and they will be pardoned as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by Allah's permission. But this is not the only task of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. Rather, he will be commissioned with many things. Of those things, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about in Surah Al-Furqan. When he says, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا That he will be filing a complaint. And the messenger says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my Lord, my people have abandoned the Qur'an. How horrific a sight to be standing in the courtroom of Rabbul Alameen and on the opposite end of you, the one filing a complaint against you is the most beloved of the creation of Allah to Allah. So it's an obligation, nevertheless, with the month of Ramadan approaching, for us to understand what does it mean to abandon the Qur'an. So we can remove ourselves from the description of those that abandon the Qur'an, so we're not between a rock and a hard place, as this ayah mentions. The first way to abandon the Qur'an is to disbelieve in it. To reject that it's from Allah. For the person that the Qur'an comes to, and he rejects it, if it isn't enough for them, nothing will be. As Allah Azza wa Jal him said, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ What other words are they going to believe in if the words of Allah aren't enough? The words of Allah are here. You want Allah Himself to come? Allah says this. هَلْ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ Are they waiting for Allah to come in a canopy of clouds, Him and the angels? But when that happens, it's all over. No more decision making. That's why Allah follows up and says, وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ When that happens, the affairs are all over. You can say, I don't disbelieve in the Qur'an. Walhamdulillah. The second way to abandon the Qur'an is to accept that it is from Allah Azza wa Jal, but to not have certainty in it. This is a book in which there is no doubt. You can say, I have certainty in the Qur'an. Wait. Don't ask yourself. Test yourself. Do you really have certainty in the Qur'an? You see, the one that has certainty in the Qur'an means he's so sure about it, more than he is sure of what he sees with his own two eyes. Meaning, if you have certainty in the Qur'an, that's going to show in your actions. It's going to be translated on the ground, in your physical decisions. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ Allah vows to cause riba, interest, to diminish, to crumble. And promises that the sadaqat, the charities, will grow. Do you believe these words? If someone believes these words, that riba is a dead end, would that same person go loopholing, running around to the shuyukh, trying to get a fatwa to use riba? And they only believed it when it came back around to haunt them. When Allah decreed for His promise to be fulfilled, and the individuals and the nations that were built on interest, they crumbled. Look at the economic crisis we're in now. They went running back to the shuyukh, the same people. Some of the shuyukh came and told us, "His Shaykh, what do I do? Is there a dua I can say or something? Why?" He says, "My 200,000 in the blink of an eye became 13. My 50,000 became 2 in an instant." Though Allah promised, you should have been certain. And Allah promised to cause sadaqah to augment. How many people do we know who were in financial difficulties, but with belief in that promise and certainty in Allah's book, they gave in sadaqah, so Allah would give them more, and now they are the ones that are lending others money. Or for example, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. Allah promises never to allow a means of victory for the disbelievers over the believers. A person that has certainty in this promise, immediately it would translate into action. He would run, for example, Surah Al-Mu'minun, or the preceding words to any Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا in the Qur'an, and see what is the description of the believers, because he's certain that if we are true believers, Allah will remove the agonizing state of the ummah from where it is to that which is better. If he doesn't do that, then it could mean either he doesn't have certainty that Allah will fulfill his promise, or it could mean that he has certainty, but he wants the children to continue being orphans, and the women to continue being raped, and the turmoil of the ummah to continue and persist. The third way to abandon the Qur'an is to not reflect over its meanings. The Qur'an, brothers and sisters, did not come down for the nights of Ramadan and that is all. Or to hang from our rearview mirrors, or to be read at funerals or weddings or at the beginning of conferences. It didn't come down for a pocket-sized barakah, as some of them say. The Qur'an is blessed, and anyone who reads it is blessed. But that's not the purpose why it's here. Just like you. You eat. Your description is that you eat. But that's not why you're here. You're here to worship. That's not your objective in this life. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ. A book we sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the Muslims after you, that is blessed. It's part of its description. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. So that you may reflect over its verses. And of course, pondering over the meanings of the Qur'an is only secondary to understanding them. Because you're not going to reflect on the sound or the rhythm of the Qur'an. You're going to reflect on the meanings. You'll say, but I don't understand Arabic. We say, you didn't understand computer language, but you learned binary code to graduate from college and get a job. Or you had to learn Spanish or French or Italian to pass your Regents exams in high school. Is not the Qur'an more worthy of a sacrifice? Al-Imam Hafs ibn Sulaiman, rahimahullah, one of the great a'imma of the qira'at, the recitations of the Qur'an. He commanded a student of his whose name was Ziyad to recite over him Surah Al-Sharh. So his student recited to him Surah Al-Sharh. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Al-Imam Hafs rahimahullah begins to cry. So his student told him, you're crying about an ayah that there is no crying involved. I mean, there's no reason for you to be crying. Meaning these ayat have nothing to do with you. They are addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah is reminding him of his favors over his final messenger. Have we not expanded for you your chest and removed from you your sins that weighed down your back, and we raised for you your mention? These are the meaning of the ayat. He told him, O Ziyad, if the sins of the one that doesn't have any sins weighed down his back, what will our sins do to us? When was the last time a person reflects on the ayat in this manner? This is the right of the Qur'an. The fourth way to abandon the Qur'an is to prefer other things over it. You say, I don't prefer anything over the Qur'an. Wait. Ask the tongue of your actions, not the tongue between your jawbones. In the upcoming Ramadan, If the Shaykh takes a little over the hour for Taraweeh, 10 minutes he adds, what's going to happen? The crowd is going to give it to him. They're going to give him a lecture about the fiqh of being an imam and how you shouldn't burden the people. And we have work in the morning. And then after they finish, they may go outside and meet someone by their car and spend an hour or an hour and a half or two and not feel it. Speaking about how gas prices have went up and how dates are so expensive this year and we don't know what next we won't be able to afford. And he didn't feel it. Allah nazzala ahsan al-hadithi kitaba. Allah sent down the best of speech, his book. I have a very sour question that I want everyone to ask themselves. Since last Ramadan, you have a television, and most likely on top of the television, maybe in the entertainment center somewhere, in the top, you have a mushaf. How many more times did you turn that TV on and off, then you, no, not read the mushaf, then you dusted that mushaf. Even the mushaf is not brought down to us so it can be polished and cleaned and put back. It came down for a much grander reason, to be read and understood and lived upon. How many times did you dust it in comparison to the time you opened the TV? It's a sour question, I know. The fifth way to abandon the Qur'an is to not use it as the medicine for your life. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we send down from the Qur'an that which is a medicine and a mercy for the believers. Both physical and spiritual. As for the physical, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah and also al-Nasa'i, they narrate from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu that in the end of the long hadith, Abu Sa'id himself recited al-Fatiha upon a man who was stung by a scorpion or a snake or something like this. So the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim, they went back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to check if this was allowed or not, that he cured the man with al-Fatiha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَا. How did you know that it was a cure? Ibn al-Qayyim in Madarij al-Salikin, he follows up and says, and if the Qur'an, it has been established that it's part of the prophetic medicine, al-Tibbu al-Nabawi, for the physical body, then for sure, by priority, by greater virtue, it's going to be a cure for the heart. Because the body is just a means, a vehicle, whereas the goal is the heart. That's what's more important. Allah doesn't look at your bodies, He looks at your hearts and your actions. He says, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, and so many times I used to hear my teacher, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, say the statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ, only you do we worship. This is the medicine for the disease of showing off. It reminds you who you worship. And the statement, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and in only you do we seek strength, this is a medicine for arrogance. So, Ya Allah, I seek strength with you only. I don't seek it with anyone else, not even myself. So it's humbling. So a person that has a physical problem or a psychological problem, when they rely on the doctors and the psychiatrists before they come to the Qur'an, you've abandoned the Qur'an. Because this is of the reasons why the Qur'an came down to cure you. So why are you ignoring it? The sixth and seventh and eighth way to abandon the Qur'an are mentioned in one ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those we have given the book to. That includes us. We've been given a book. They recite it as it deserves to be recited. These are those that believe in it. So part of believing in the Qur'an is to recite it correctly. Do you believe in the Qur'an? Yes. But do you recite it correctly? I don't know. What does it mean to recite it correctly? This is part of the problem. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as Ibn Kathir rahimullah mentions, he says, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, meaning Allah. Reciting it correctly means to make halal what it says is halal and haram what it says is haram. And to pronounce it correctly and to never interpret a verse from it except with knowledge. So the sixth and seventh and eighth way to abandon the Qur'an is to not make it the constitution of your life. Number 7 is to not pronounce it correctly. And number 8 is to interpret it however you feel. Let's go back. Number 6, not using it as the constitution of your life. In al-Hadith al-Qudsi that was narrated in Sahih Muslim by Iyad ibn Himar al-Mujashi'i radiallahu anhu, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَنْزَلْتُ عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا لَا يَغْسِلُهُ الْمَاءِ تَقْرَأُهُ نَائِمًا وَيَقْضَانِ. I send down upon you a book, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that water, all of the water can't wash away. You can't get rid of this book. You are to recite it awake and asleep. The scholars say what this means is that it's a muhaymin, it's an overseer of your night and your day. It's not just about reciting it beautifully or even crying when it's recited. No, it has to be an authority in your life. As some of the ulama said, and perhaps someone may be reciting the Qur'an while the Qur'an is cursing him. How? He says, for example, أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. May Allah's curse be upon the oppressor. And he's an oppressor. So he's cursing himself even though he's reciting the Qur'an. To be an authority. If we ask the people, where is Napoleon Bonaparte, the conqueror? He's dead in his grave, receiving from Allah what he deserves. Where are his laws? Where is his sharia? It judges the wealth and the life and the blood of the Muslims and the non-Muslims in the East and the West. It's been globalized. Where is Rabbul Alameen? The Most High, above His creation, above His throne, in a manner befitting His Majesty. Where is His sharia? Entertainment centers and in the drawers and on the chests of naked women as necklaces. The 7th way to abandon the Qur'an is to not recite it correctly. It is not an obligation on all of the Muslims one by one to memorize the whole Qur'an. Rather, this is a communal obligation that the ummah is obligated to pass on the Qur'an perfectly and completely from one generation to the next. But every single person doesn't have to memorize it. Every single person has to, though, recite it correctly. Tajweed is an obligation on every sane adult Muslim. And whomever does not recite the Qur'an with tajweed is a sinner, as Ibn al-Jazari rahimahullah says. Tajweed also is a blessing. It's a ni'mah. Yani you can imagine that we can recite the Qur'an, which is Allah's words. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. We have made the Qur'an easy to be recited. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, وَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ الْآدَمِيِّينَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْخَلْقِ أَنْ يَتَكَلَّمَ بِكَلَامِ اللَّهِ. Were it not for Allah making the Qur'an easy to be repeated on our tongues, the tongues of the children of Adam, no one of the creation would have been able to repeat Allah's words. How does that even work? We're made of dirt. We're going to repeat the Creator's words? It's a gift. It's a blessing. How else is it a blessing? Look at the other nations. The Christians, for example, the closest book they have to the time of Isa alayhi salam, bear with me, is a book called the Book of Mark, or the Gospel of Mark. The closest estimate, even though this is not likely, it's inaccurate, the closest estimate according to the Christian scholars, everything I'm going to say now is according to their resources. The closest estimate is that the Book of Mark was written 40 years after the time of Isa alayhi salam, in a language that Isa alayhi salam didn't speak. And that original, there's over 2,000 original manuscripts, no two of them are identical. And on top of that, they tell you his name wasn't Mark. This is just a pen name. We don't know what his real name is. So if you don't know what his real name is, you'll never know if he was a friend or an enemy of Isa alayhi salam. Look at all that, and we have tajweed. Tajweed in a nutshell is what? The science that teaches you to pronounce the Qur'an in the exact same manner that it rolled off of the lips of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Which means, 1400 years later, the exact same way he heard it from Jibreel alayhi salam, which means the exact same way it was uttered by Rabbul Alameen. What a blessing. To not recite the Qur'an correctly is of the ways to abandon the Qur'an. And number 8, to interpret it however you feel. You know the new age hypocrites that want to throw out Islam and bring about a new Islam, And we Muslims insist that there is only one Islam, the only Islam, the sufficient Islam, that is applicable in all places and all times, and perfect for every age and every place. They tell you, for example, you need to reinterpret things. We're in the year 2010, right? They say, salah doesn't really mean salah, doesn't mean a physical bowing. And no, it means don't be attached to the material world, it means be spiritual. And hijab doesn't mean a fabric that you wear. No, they say, hijab is something grander. Hijab is an attitude. Hijab is a personality. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ What's sad is, some Muslims fall into the same crime even in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't we hear? Doesn't the ayah mean this? No, no, I think the ayah means this. Didn't Allah say something about this? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, he used to say, وَأَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تَظِلُّنِي What sky would ever protect me? Give me shade from the punishment. وَأَيُّ أَرْضٍ تَقِلُّنِي What earth would ever carry me from the disaster? إِنْ قُلْتُ فِي آيَةٍ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ بِرَأْيٍ أَوْ بِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ If I said about any one ayah of the book of Allah with my opinion, or with that which I don't know. We said the Qur'an is an authority in our life. You think it could be an authority if it means something different to each person? Can it be an authority like that? No. Therefore, part of Allah preserving the Qur'an is that He preserved for us the formula, the method on how to interpret the Qur'an. So if you don't know that method, or if you know it but you're not qualified to implement it, don't you dare say the ayah means this. That's the eighth way to abandon the Qur'an, to interpret according to your opinion. Very quickly, two more. The ninth way to abandon the Qur'an is to hide it. Part of believing in the Qur'an, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةِ Take the Qur'an with strength, pride, hold it up high, anywhere, in front of anyone. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ Indeed, those that conceal what we have revealed, meaning Allah wants to show it to the world through you, to test. You're the middleman. Those that conceal what we choose to reveal from the book and the guidance, after we've showed it to the people, these are those that Allah curses, and all those that curse will curse them. إِلَّا Except, here's the fire exit and the life jacket. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا Except those that make tawbah. They repent. They say, Ya Allah, I'm sorry, and that's it. No. وَأَصْلَحُوا They fix what they did wrong. وَبَيَّنُوا And they show it. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنَا التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ These are those that I will open the door of repentance for them, and I am the acceptor of repentance, and I am the most merciful. In Sahih al-Bukhari, from Hadith Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً Relay on my behalf, even if it's one verse. And also in Sahih al-Bukhari, from Haytham Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خِيَرُكُم مَّن تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ The very best of you, bar none, are those that learn the Qur'an and teach it to others. The last way to abandon the Qur'an, the tenth way that we will discuss, is to disrespect the Qur'an or its carriers. To disrespect the Qur'an, how? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ Whomever gives great respect to the signs, the sanctities of Allah, this is of the sign of the piety of the hearts. The ulama, they pulled out of this one ayah many rulings under this general premise. They said, for example, you should put a Qur'an in a high place, don't put it on the ground. For example, you can't make the Qur'an the peer of music and use it as a ringtone. You don't take something that has Qur'an on and take it into the bathroom. Things like this, to disrespect the Qur'an. Another way to disrespect the Qur'an is to be obnoxious when the Qur'an is being recited. This is the description of the kuffar, not the believers. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, the disbelievers are saying, don't listen to the Qur'an and make noise. So they would whistle, sing and clap. And make noise while it's being recited if you want to win. They're telling them, if you want to win, you have to make sure that people don't hear the Qur'an from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they would make this noise. Sometimes we Muslims, we do the same thing by accident. Even though the intention is not different, the external action is the same. after salah, people are still praying sunnah and we're making noise in the masjid. Or a person enters in jama'ah and they're already praying and he's still on his phone. The believer is to separate himself in every way from the description of a disbeliever so that he is not gathered in the gathering of disbeliever on the Day of Judgment. That's why we say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Not the path of these or those. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا. When Qur'an is recited, Allah says, then listen to it and give it your undivided attention, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And also to disrespect the carriers of the Qur'an. In Sunan Abi Dawood and elsewhere, in the Hadith of deemed Hassan by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, and before him, the great Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, from the Hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ. It is part of declaring royalty for Allah, respecting Allah. إِكْرَامِ ذِشَيْبَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ is to honor the Muslim that has grown old, the Muslim with white hairs, وَحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ and the carrier of the Qur'an. They are the best of people. You can't treat them like a peer because of what they carry. Many times in the West, we have a problem that we have difficulty seeing space. Like me and my dad, we're friends. Me and the Sheikh, we're homies. I hear one of them say, right? No, there's a difference between the Sheikh being friendly and the Sheikh being your friend. Friendly because he's following the manners of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Your father playing with you, this is part of following the fatherhood manners of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But they're not your friend. There has to always be that respect and that space between you and them. The ummah is in what it is in nowadays. And the hope is in you. If you turn to that book. They think the ummah is down for the count. But you can breathe new life into this ummah and be the soul of the ummah. Because if you carry the Qur'an, that is what Allah called the Qur'an, a soul. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And in this manner, we've revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a soul from our command, meaning the book and the guidance. We pray that Allah Azza wa Jal makes this Ramadan the rectifier between us and the Qur'an. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those that recite the Qur'an correctly and understand the Qur'an in its beauty and implement the Qur'an by night and by day. We pray that Allah azza wa jal makes what is remaining of our lives better than what has passed. And the ultimate best day of our lives, the day that we meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa salli lahumma ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.